Good morning. Shavuot Samach. That's Hebrew for Happy Pentecost. See how hard it is to understand a foreign language? It's Pentecost Sunday, and I'm sure that right now, in many churches across the country, people are remembering that day long ago when the Holy Spirit appeared and changed our lives forever. Though, I'm quite certain no other church in the country saw a retelling of the Pentecost story quite like the one you've just seen. It's a bit unorthodox, I know, but it is Youth Sunday after all. As we planned this service, we reread the scripture from Acts 2. Some things made us stop and think. Most, if not all of us, had heard the story before. The Spirit descending in tongues of fire, the people from many nations hearing the disciples speak in their own languages, an accusation of drunkenness, and Peter's bold sermon. The final result, thousands of Jews were baptized and converted, becoming Christians. This time as we read the story, we began to imagine what it must have been like to be there as it was really happening. Pentecost was a Jewish festival celebrated 50 days after the first barley harvest. That's why Jews from so many different nations gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate a harvest. We began to see this biblical image in a more modern-day light, something like race day weekend at Dover Downs. It makes sense, doesn't it? Our slower, lower Delaware calm is interrupted every year around this time as people from all over the United States gather to do one thing, go to the races. And while most Americans speak English, we each speak it in our own way. Many Jews incorporate Yiddish words into their English. The Catholic who cuts off one of us lower Delaware residents while driving might mutter, mea culpa, Latin for my bad. In some ways, we're all multilingual, absorbing all these words into our vocabularies so we can communicate effectively. If we didn't do this, it'd be nearly impossible. As portrayed in the video, we would all be speaking different languages. I recently had dinner with two of my grandparents' friends. They spoke many different languages fluently. Unfortunately, English wasn't one of them. Through the course of the meal, we had a great time attempting to translate the menu through a string of English, Spanish, French, and Arabic. For the outside observer, it must have sounded hilarious. No say. Is it la, la, la? That's Arabic for no. Ah, si, merci. We attempted to bridge the language gaps with minimal success. I would try to go to Spanish and see if a French speaker could recognize a common root. If not, Latin prefixes. We sped up our talking, slowed down our pace, talked louder and softer. It was exhausting. This episode points out the importance of a common language, but also how much easier it is to stay with one's kind. But as Christians, we can't do this. We need to spread the gospel everywhere. Is it any wonder that Jesus' followers were hidden away from it all? One verse tells us that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. What were they doing there? Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So we can assume that that's what they were doing. Waiting. And waiting. And waiting. Waiting is not something that we do very well, is it? Particularly not in this day and age. Just look at how annoyed we get with the race weekend traffic jams. We want what we want when we want it. But even back in biblical times, I have a feeling that waiting would not have been easy. Those poor disciples had been through a lot in the past 2 months of their lives, hadn't they? One minute, they were experiencing the highs of their ministry with Jesus, witnessing firsthand the awesome power of God. The next minute, they were deep in the depths of despair as they saw their teacher and Lord arrested, tried, and crucified like a common criminal. They did nothing to stop it. Then, when Jesus miraculously appeared to them on the third day, some of them still didn't believe. Imagine the guilt they must have felt. How they must have doubted their ability to carry out the mission Jesus had set before them. They may have even wondered if they could still be Christians. But then the Holy Spirit blew in, and just like a tornado that tears down every wall in its path, this gale force wind tore down those walls of guilt, doubt, and insecurity within those disciples. It broke through the barriers of language, race, religion, nationality, and creed among all those who were willing to listen that day. The Spirit met them each, right where they were, as they were. The Bible tells us that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As they went out to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the crowds, the people were able to understand. The disciples were speaking their language. Notice that it does not say that each person was transformed to understanding one language. No. The Spirit filled the disciples with the ability to speak all languages. The crowd didn't have to change. They didn't have to meet some sort of prerequisite level of ability or belief in order to experience God's grace. God's grace met them right where they were, as they were. All they needed to do was to listen. Yet in the midst of this miracle, there were still those who chose to explain away the miraculous, giving a simple, earthly solution to an extraordinary, out-of-this-world occurrence. "We know what's happening here," they said. "These people are just drunk." In steps Peter, setting the matter straight. The sermon he preached was so bold, so powerful, that it cut straight to the heart of the listeners. Scripture tells us that 3,000 people were converted after the sermon. Was that Peter speaking? The same Peter who denied ever knowing Christ. The open mouth insert foot Peter, who was constantly blurting out whatever popped into his head. Yes, it was. But this was an enabled, Spirit-filled Peter. When the Holy Spirit came to Peter and the other disciples that day, those sometimes weak, unsure, and incapable men were transformed into whirlwinds of faith. God took their pre-Pentecost faithfulness, as frail as it could be, and literally blew life into it. All the apostles needed was to be willing. The same can and does happen today. Ordinary people like you and I have God used them to share faith, transforming lives and converting. We all speak different languages. We may be communicating God's word through a simple act of kindness we feel compelled to do, but the effect is life-changing. When God uses us, lives are changed. We could say that the 3,000 converts lived happily ever after, but that would be a lie. They probably faced torment over their faith for much of their earthly life, but they received a chance at a blissful eternity, a faith tale ending. So the question today is this: where do you see yourself in this story? Are you James, impatiently waiting for God to somehow make his presence known to you? Are you hidden away, like Peter, burdened by the guilt of a shameful past or a less than perfect present? Do you want to be used by God, but like Thomas, are doubtful that you have what it takes to live up to his expectations? Do you see yourself as part of the crowd, unable to distinguish God's voice in the midst of so many other voices calling out? Are you waiting to hear a voice you understand? Maybe you've been touched by the Holy Spirit already, and you're on fire for the Lord, itching to go out and share this God gift with the world. But maybe you're someone who chooses not to see God, even when he's working wonders right in front of you. Regardless of where you are on this walk, one thing is clear. God wants to reach out to every one of us. He doesn't care who we are, where we are, or what language we speak. He speaks ghetto, French, and even Sussex County. When the time comes, you will hear his voice, if you listen, speaking your language. He's holding out his hands, desperately waiting to give us his grace. And he's willing to come to each of us, right where we are. Just like on that Pentecost day so long ago, his Spirit is speaking. All we need to do is listen.
Would you pray with me?
Lord, we know that we do not always listen to your word the way that we should, that we sometimes get tired of waiting, or we are so filled with confusion and worry that we are powerless to listen. Please remind us and let us know in these times that you are there with us, just the way we are, with all our troubles, problems, and iniquities, just as you always will be. We are not worthy. We have moments of doubt and insubordinates. Help us be ready and willing when you choose us to receive your word so we can spread your merciful truths that shepherd us through the good and the bad. Please help us know what to say when you need us to speak, for we can't do it alone. Your words are far mightier than those of our mortal creation. We stand before you, insufficient for the task you demand, but imploring your guidance. We need your light to illuminate the kindling fires inside us all that you created with the second miracle of Pentecost. Help us speak a language those around us understand, so we can bring your light to them, where they are, when it is our time to serve. Likewise, please bring your word to us in a way we comprehend when we need you more than ever. Help us come to the prayer you taught us in a language we understand when we seek your aid, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.